This is a HeadGum Podcast.
The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
This podcast is brought to you by eHarmony, the dating app to find someone you can be yourself with. Why doesn't eHarmony allow copy and paste in first messages? Because you are unique, and your conversations should reflect that. eHarmony wants you to find someone who will get you. How are you going to know who gets you if people send you the same generic conversation starters they message everyone else? Conversations that actually help you get to know each other. Imagine that. Get who gets you on eHarmony. Sign up today.
And Maria is see.
I like that laugh.
Hey. Daddy T.
There can be 100 people in the room and 99 don't believe in you, but I had this one incredible talent with me.
There can be 100 people in the room and 99 don't believe in you, and you just
and it goes on for 3 minutes.
Are we ready for a fresh round of this?
There can be 100 clowns in the room that aren't honking their noses at you or think you're funny. I was Lady Gaga on the press tour for A Star Is Born, mm-hmm. telling the same prepackaged. There can be 100 people in the room and 99 don't believe it. And the best part of that montage, when you look it up, is Bradley's face just being like, mm-hmm.
Every time, like, thank you. Well, and she's such a good actor. She, like, delivers it earnestly every time, too. She never rushes through it.
No, she takes her sweet time.
She takes her time.
So.
She's a pro.
Joker Folly Adieu, coming soon.
Can't wait.
Welcome to Good Christian Fun. I'm Kevin.
I'm Caroline.
We're here to have good Christian fun. It's the podcast where we talk about Christian pop culture bright and early in the morning.
Basically the crack of dawn.
We haven't recorded this early ever. No, maybe one time, like,
yeah, maybe.
3 years ago.
Yeah.
But, you know.
It's like 9. It's not that early, but.
I mean, we woke up at a.
It feels.
Well, and to be clear, my we've talked about this. My internal clock, I get up without an alarm at like 6 every morning.
Yeah.
And that's just kind of, and that's something I got from God's my pop favorite. Before me. What's that? Yeah, God's favorite student. We talked about the dichotomy of Jesus is a morning person, Satan's a night owl, mm-hmm. which we can talk more about later.
For sure.
But listen, we're not here to make fun of you or to make you go to church. We're just here to talk about evangelical, Christian, pop culture, music, movies, entertainment, made for, made by, made about Christians, and sometimes Satan. Sometimes
the other guy.
Sometimes this one right here.
He must be addressed.
Yeah. Light and dark. We're talking about songs about the devil today. We're doing a hunt for the worst Christian song of all time, Devil Edition. Songs just about you know who.
Yeah.
Down there.
This is GCF Folly Adieu.
And the clown has come back to bite in a big way. Caroline, how are you feeling about the... I want to ask you about this because there's so many devil baby movies. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure you've seen all of them.
Right.
In preparation, just in case.
Just in case. Mm-hmm. I want to know the signs.
We're talking Rosemary's Baby. We're talking Immaculate, the new Sydney Sweeney joint.
Right.
Directed by a friend, Mike.
Yeah.
You know.
Dune.
That's a big one. Sure.
The big one.
Yeah. You think that's a devil baby in
there's
there?
Something like that, you yeah. know?
She kind of looks demonic.
There's something eerie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like with the cheekbones being too high, you're saying?
Yeah. Well, I just feel like they're, well, the, you know, the worm poison and stuff like that. Like, that can't be good. That's not going to turn out to be like a good person.
No, certainly not.
Yeah.
That's a good sign to look out for. That's gonna not turn out to be a good person. Like early on, and I'll be as uncle, status, I will be looking for the little
signs. Mm-hmm. Do you think if I drank a lot of Coke Zero during this pregnancy, it's a similar problem? Just
yeah, like that's your water of life. Yeah, yeah, I think so. I think that could be the case. Damn. Okay. I know less about Coke Zero, though, than like I feel like Diet Coke culture as a sort of status symbol is more powerful than
Coke Zero.
If you
had to place it, like what is the Coke Zero person versus the Diet Coke person?
The Diet Coke person is self-diagnosing all the time with some sort of thing they saw on TikTok. It's like, I'm actually this. And then you meet up with them 10 days later. It's like, that was a misdiagnosis. I'm actually not these letters. I'm these letters. And then, and Coke Zero might just be zero self-reflection at all. It might be someone who's committed to not looking inward.
Yeah.
And just kind of living on a raw instinctual level.
Right.
Which has its pros and cons.
Raw instinct. I love that. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Well, you're welcome, Coke. We just did your marketing work for you.
Yeah, good for them. We did a free ad for them. And now let's do a free ad for our very special guest today. Friends and folks, make it her glorious return to the podcast. A writer you can catch her work on Inside Job. Give it a up for Allison Agosti.
Thank you.
Can I tell you something? I almost said give it the hell up for Netflix, which is not your name.
Yeah, and that show was canceled.
It sure was, so we should not give it up for them.
It's, I mean,
so
rewatch.
Sad. Yeah.
Definitely rewatch.
But it's on there, and they'll never take it down.
Yeah, that's not what's happening these days. They're not deleting shows.
Caroline, this is why we need physical media more than ever. We need to get things on disc so we can keep them for a
You should
a
head up the
time.
Netflix DVD department.
I was there day one, girl. I was there getting the red envelopes in 2004. Yes.
Oh my God. I made that joke and like genuinely forgot that Netflix did have like DVDs.
Yes.
That
you had to mail back. Started,
which we also used at my house all the time.
Oh,
I think
that's
how my mom got into Everybody Loves Raymond, just she was getting all the seasons.
That's so funny.
Netflix mailers.
I feel like you hear stories of people being like, you know, that's the first time I watched Fellini, or, you know, the film, the work of the 1970s never spoke to me. And for your mom, it was like, Ray Romano's funny as shit.
I need this family
in my life. Yeah.
The commitment to just get like a disc of 5 episodes and then mail it back to get the next one.
Yeah, I think she would stack it up. Did you guys remember, like, you'd have fight with your family about like the queue about who got the next disc? Because you could, you know, bump things up and stuff.
You know, I think that's specific to your family or families like yours.
Yeah.
Because in my family, no one gave a shit.
It was just little baby Kevin.
Yeah. I don't think they used it.
Yeah.
Really?
Besides
me. I think
me.
It was me. Yeah.
It was just you as well.
I don't have a memory of arguing about what was coming.
But I long for those. I hear about that and I yearn for a sort of similar discourse.
That's the culture you'll create in your family.
Mom, I think Moulin Rouge is better than Chicago. Fight
I'll give
me.
You a one Raymond and then Thumbelina is coming up next. Okay.
I'm trying to imagine any subscription where I'd have to physically mail something back and having it now. Like having that bare minimum of energy. I just don't think Netflix.
I would do it.
Yeah, you would mail it back?
Well, I go to the video store now and rent Blu-rays.
Wow.
I know. And it's, I think it's great.
Like as cosplay?
What's that?
As like cosplay?
Well,
why?
I'm sure.
He's LARPing.
I'm sure that's a part of it. It's like, ooh, maybe it's 2004 all over again.
It feels performative.
Well, here's why it's not.
You can rent it from Prime.
Well, no. I mean, sometimes, man, I sound genuinely defensive right now.
Yes.
No.
Let me explain.
These are things you can't find, maybe. So, well, and also you can't get all the extras, right? Which you actually watch.
Well, that's a big part of it. Yeah. Sure.
Kevin's huge into the extras.
You get a
DVD
disc.
Extras.
You can listen to a commentary.
Yeah.
You can watch a making of.
That's the only DVD I own is Armageddon. For the
criterion, the Ben Affleck where he's shitting
he's
on the
just
movie.
Drunk.
Yeah. The legendary. Yeah. Okay, yeah. He is drunk.
He's
right?
Wasted. Yeah. It's really funny.
Yeah. And it just looks that's better. Ben Affleck. I think the disc look better than the streaming.
Yeah, and that's really important when I'm watching Armageddon.
It's important to me. I want to see every frame.
What was the last one you rented?
Oh gosh, that's a good question. I rented.
I want it to be 13 going on 30 or
Shrek
something.
3.
Yes.
Can I tell you legitimately the last one I rented? Huh. The Mule, starring Clint Eastwood. What?
The Mule?
A movie I'll never see.
Well, they had the 4K UHD of it, Caroline, so I had to get
you
it.
You want to see his wrinkles.
I'd never seen it. And my boy's in it, playing the FBI agent, Bradley Cooper. Bradley Cooper's in it.
Wow.
And yes, Clint Eastwood, at 88 years young, in no less than two scenes in which he has a threesome in the movie. That's true.
Serious?
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. Did you see it?
I feel like I've heard this discussed. Yeah. No, I'll never see another Clint Eastwood movie.
Damn. Yeah. He's a drug mule.
Did you watch the extras for
that? There were no extras on
it. There was no behind the scenes of the threesome.
So in this scene, we really... No, but I had a blast. I had a blast watching it. And I couldn't have done that on streaming. I could only do that with the disc, right?
So yeah. When you rent a DVD, you will go through excuse me, I'm so sorry.
Yeah, it's really important that we get the labels correct.
You will go and you'll watch the extras. This is like a 3 or 4 hour experience for you.
Well, depending on what length they are. Like I won't sit down and be like, time to listen to the audio commentary and just sit motionless in front of.
But like if the Mule did have extras, you were going to go through.
Oh, yeah. Because usually it's like a 15-minute thing. And you can see Diane Wiest on set being like, Clint was great at giving directions. Those. And it's fun. It's fun to watch people do press that way. I mean, we remember the Lord of the Rings extras from when we were children and all those great anecdotes. And
HBO Max will have a lot of those sometimes for their shows. Mm-hmm. Max. Yeah. Max. And so I'll watch those.
My ass. triggering. Gracious. But yes, I'm very pro disc because it could all go away. It could all go away one day.
4K, you know what that stands for?
For Kevin. Yeah, I think that's true. Gracious. Wow. And we might have to start counting because Caroline and I share a few accounts for streaming.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That might go away too.
No. Because which one?
Well, and not from my volition, but because I would simply never. They're cracking down on password sharing.
Yeah.
So they're kind of daring you to do what I'm doing, you know?
Go back to discs.
In a way. Because they're like being traditional, like one household, you get to rent. I was doing Netflix across three households up until recently, and it got way too complicated.
Yeah.
I literally couldn't figure it out with my parents. Of like, every time you log on, I can't log on here.
And right. Devastating.
And there'd be like hours-long phone calls and coordination. Hours long. Oh, yeah.
Poor thing.
Meetings, email chains going back and forth for weeks. We couldn't figure it out. And I'm
afraid.
Get
to hire an assistant.
Yeah. Yeah, I got a TaskRabbit assistant for a month just to field this one task.
Yeah.
And I'm afraid a similar fate's going to befall us because HBO said like, oh yeah, we're going to start cracking down on this stuff.
Well, I need Disney Plus.
Okay.
But in the coming months.
Why?
Well, for me.
Because Nate's going to be bored.
I'm kind of a big goofy girl.
And I've always said that.
Now for Caroline, those middle of the night feedings.
She's a big goofy girl. you got to get your boy, your impending boy, onto Bluey.
Criterion.
Yeah. No.
He's gonna love Cassavetes.
No, to Bluey.
Yeah,
he'll love. Have you?
I mean, I've heard the buzz.
Dabble? I'm looking forward to it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. I think so.
I'm not gonna jump the gun.
Mm-hmm.
I know it's coming.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. Just have it playing like during the delivery.
I feel like up until he's like one, I'm still gonna be watching all my Dirtbag shows.
Yeah, I think that's right.
He's not forming memories.
Yeah,
it'll be fine.
Yeah, you can watch that movie I watched last night that I was telling you about.
yeah, that stuff. Uh-huh.
Gracious. Well, Allison, thanks for coming back.
Oh my gosh, thanks for having me.
On the show. Yeah. I was listening to your episode again this morning, just to recap. Where have we been? Where have we come from? Where are we going?
Yeah.
And man, I do not like the way I sounded.
Really?
On that episode. Yeah. Even a year removed, because it was last February.
Yeah.
I think that you were on.
Oh.
I was like, I'm so annoying. And I mean, I think this is a very common, anyone who listens back or blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
But I thought I'd made peace with it in a way that I really haven't. In terms of like, not even like the sound of my voice that I'm up here, but just like the cadence, my interjections, things I'm saying. I'm like, that was just a year ago. I would understand if it was like 6, 7, 8, 9 years ago. I'm like, that was the old me. Right. That was me, you know. Pre-smoking weed and getting cool as fuck or whatever, you know, all these major life stages for me. But that was me a mere 14 months ago.
I remember you being charming.
That's nice.
I think a big problem I have on podcasts is saying, being very affirmative and interjecting with just like yes and ums. And I never listen back just because I assume I've made multiple factual errors and don't want to hear it.
Like to interject in the sense of whatever the people are talking about, you'll be like,
I just say I agree. Yes a thousand times.
Uh-huh, yeah. That's yes. Right. Yes. Being an active listener yeah. on a podcast. I just did it. Actually sounds it sounds irritating yeah. to listen to, even though in the room it's very nice and natural, because I've had the same thing where I listen back, I'm just like, just be silent, like nod, you right. know, like you can do that, you don't have to be like uh-huh, uh-huh. yeah
yeah
girl
say that, you know. Shut up. Anyway, but Kevin, that
it's
I mean,
struggle to say less all the time.
Here's a positive spin on what oh, you're describing.
Yeah. And I'm not fishing.
Just 14.
We're not on the boat looking for trout right now, I promise. But if just we 14 find some.
Yeah, let's make a fish.
Let's reel them in.
Is, you know, in 14 months, you've grown so much.
Yeah, I think that's true.
Wow. You know,
I think you're always growing.
I hope so. Right.
And I do think that's a significant amount of time. Mm-hmm. And I remember you being charming and very fun.
That's so nice.
There you go.
I was thinking about this concept, though, about like, when do you actually stop growing? And when do you just kind of like, yep, you hit your ceiling of whatever it's going to be. And everyone's idealistic self would say, well, you're always growing.
No, I think I'm pretty close to cooked.
This is early. It's early for that.
Yeah.
We let her cook. I know. She's
I'm
done.
I'm cooked.
I'm done. I think I'm fine. Mm. And
well,
yeah.
No, I'm joking.
I am fine. So I'll be like, it's not that bad.
It's not that bad. I'm fine.
It's not. Here. And there's people who are disasters where it's like, it is that bad. And they should stay in the oven a little bit longer.
As I encroach on middle age, it's very interesting to see my friends where it's like, you're going to be a weird old lady.
Oh,
like,
man.
Just knowing the kind of trope that they're going to turn into.
Yeah.
I remember that even from moving to LA at a young age when I was like 19 or 20 years old. And meeting people who are in their late 20s or early 30s, and sometimes having the thought, which is so weird and condescending, especially for like a 20-year-old boy to have, but thinking about some people, oh, you didn't get something fundamental like 15 years ago, and now you're this way.
Yeah.
And I don't know if you're going to get it in the next 10 or 15 years of your life.
Yes. And where it's so clear to you, like the outside person, and obviously everyone has their shit that they don't see, but when you can look at someone and just be like, just, oh God, just go to therapy. Just, oh, just somebody just needs to
read a couple books.
Or
yeah,
whatever.
Read a couple, just yeah. whatever the thing yeah. is.
Cause get out of the shitty relationship. It's not therapy.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, I think cause I'm a little older than you guys. So for me, it feels like I have friends that are very resistant to doing any sort of work versus I think you guys might be too much work, you oh, know, yeah. like a little over therapized.
Did Jemima Kirk?
Receptive.
Yeah. Like
Instagram
they need
story,
to hit,
you might be thinking about yourself. Too
yeah.
much.
They need to hit in the middle. Yeah. Yeah. That's my thing.
There is a point where navel gazing does become damaging.
Yeah. And I think my gang doesn't have enough. Where it's like
your gang,
my little gang of
we
ladies.
Were both born in the 80s. Caroline's yeah. young, she's not like us,
like
we
us.
Were both born in the 80s.
Sure.
Yeah
we I'm grew Gen up Alpha. With Ronald Reagan. You're Gen Alpha.
That's so cool.
Wait, is your kid gonna be Gen Alpha?
I think he's like younger than Gen Alpha.
So he's like he doesn't even have
a Gen Z. I think right is like people in their maybe early 20s now, late teens. Gen Alpha is like them. Children to those kids are Gen Alpha.
Okay.
Okay, Gen Z is 97 to 2012, if you're yeah. born okay. any time there.
Yeah.
And then Gen Alpha is 2013 on.
Right.
And then I don't know what yeah, comes I don't after know if that.
The, yeah, maybe he's like right at the tail of Gen Alpha.
We'll see. I don't know.
I'll ask him.
Oh, but the way I was thinking about, <I'd be> like,
get it, Bev.
What are you gonna do the first time your son just like rebel? It'll just be so
yeah.
It'll be so interesting to see how
yeah.
Because I don't know what I would do. You know,
full Dobson.
Dr. Dobby.
The dirt revert.
Spanks away, John, you, my boys.
James Dobson was like the pioneer of like spank your children into loving God and being obedient.
He wrote a book called Dare to Discipline that was fundamental for many parents raising, rearing other children.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Huge.
I wonder if there was a crossover sensation with that, though, in the way that some Christian artists have some crossover hits. Like, the Spanx made it to mainstream radio. The
Spanx were definitely mainstream because it was at least a discussion in my house. I don't think I was ever spanked, but I was, like, aware of them talking about it.
You knew that they were thinking like, about it.
Should we hit her?
You're like, I'd love to weigh in.
Could we not? But, like, I feel like I remember it being a conversation.
I think in the 80s and 90s, it was like, kind of like, we were maybe? Like, ooh, you know, some of us are like definitely still spanking, and then some were just like, I don't know if it's kind of out.
Yeah.
Trending
it's not
anymore.
So trendy,
what is like, the spank of 2024? What's the thing that we're like, I'm not sure if we should, but, you know, maybe 20 years from now, we'll look back and it's like, oh, I can't believe we did that.
Yeah. I'm taking away iPads. Taking away technology.
That's so wrong.
I don't know.
Giving it to them.
I think it's.
Yeah, I feel like if anything, it's more like how many indulgences are not right at this point.
It is crazy because one of my best friends has a 4-year-old and, you know, he's really loud and annoying. And then you just give him an iPad and he's quiet. Like, I would just have my kid in front of a... This is why I'm not having children.
Right. You don't blame them.
But you would
I'm like, I get it.
I have it on the Criterion channel when you gave it to them.
To justify.
They would learn about French New Wave.
Yes.
Yeah. Have that and the calculator app open.
And you're like, here.
Calculate.
Just in case.
Do math.
Yeah, just a little math.
So you can be learning math.
They need to discover boobs upside down like the rest of us did in our generation.
But it is wild to just watch a child be neutralized.
Immediately.
Like that Lego show.
I have a core memory of this, of being out with some friends of my parents. And they had a young kid. And this is in 2008. So it was... 1 year after the launch of the iPhone in 2007.
Oh, yeah.
And we were out to dinner.
Why did I say that? Like, I remember.
Right.
Oh, baby.
It was February.
Steve Jobs was cooking. Tim Cook is not Jobson. But they went out to dinner. We went out to dinner with them. And the kid was being annoying. And the mom said, here, you want YouTube? Get on YouTube. And handed the kid her phone.
Raw YouTube.
And I was like, this is different. And especially because... my parents were very like, let's have some discipline around screen time, which was watching TV.
Yes.
But this just being like, and it did, like you're saying, it did kind of work.
I mean, it works on me.
Calm down.
I'll just, everything else goes away.
The way my heart rate goes down when I'm laying in my bed.
Yeah.
I know.
Looking.
It's happening. Oh, gosh. Okay. So screen time might be the Spanx of 2024.
For sure.
That we'll think about differently.
Of just like, you shouldn't have given me so much access.
Well, actually, another big debate, I think we talked about this on the show, was like posting photos of your kids.
Yes.
In hindsight, we would all be like, oh no, shouldn't have done that.
I'm curious where you guys fall on that. Because to me, they all just look like babies. I cannot imagine... knowing that my mom posted a picture of me as a baby and being upset.
Mother,
I just can't.
Why would you do that?
I think privacy. There's part of me that thinks it's kind of weird that when people don't acknowledge their children, but also all of social media is so weird. And I wonder what level of access we will just give the internet to ourselves.
When
in
they
a couple
don't
of
post
years.
Their children.
When it's just like kids aren't there, I think it's so weird to put like an emoji heart over your baby's face. I just think it's odd, especially for a non-celebrity. It feels like you're trying to be famous or like.
Yeah, I'll be like, oh, just in case.
Yeah.
Well, here's where my like crazy brain goes a little bit too, is like, we don't know the future we'll live in.
Yes.
And like, what if there is a way that like having your baby's face from like babyhood to adulthood is like
data mining for future companies.
And I'm like very vaguely making this up, but I'm like, could happen, you know? And so
no,
like,
not stupid.
So that's why I plan to put a little Seinfeld over.
Love. Baby.
I think it's more fun. You're not going to do a heart emoji. You're going to do Jerry Seinfeld's face
I think I'm also just bringing a bias against a very specific non-famous actress who puts a heart over her baby's face. And I'm like, you are not, nobody gives a shit about your baby.
No one's screenshotting.
Here's what I'm going to do.
Aren't even interested.
No, no one cares about your baby. Also, the idea and... The idea that a parent's not showing me a picture of their kid, like, oh no, like,
please
slide into the DM.
Like, all you guys do
give it to me. Don't withhold.
No, if I had children, I would blur out the bodies and not the face. I'd keep the face intact.
Cute.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that way everyone can imagine, oh, they probably have a weird looking body that they're protecting in that regard. I don't know.
Show me 10 babies. I'm not going to know the difference.
Mm. I do have.
Like a baby baby?
Yeah.
Little ones. Yeah. They look the same.
And then there are the people, I'm thinking of one friend in particular where it's like, they don't post their son or their wife.
Yeah.
Ever. It's just work stuff. Which is interesting.
I guess that's going the Gosling Eva Mendes route, you know, where you're like, sure, we have a family, but
it's none of your business.
It's none of your business. But I just think that's, I don't know. I guess it's everyone's personal taste.
Mm-hmm.
Seems weird to me, but also social media is weird.
Why don't you put my face on your baby?
Yes. That's great.
Or actually do the logo for the podcast so it's an advertising opportunity. You could probably sell the ad space, right?
Yeah.
Like whether it's our podcast or another similar brand.
Your logo here.
Yeah.
It's my baby's face.
Like the way people do with cars.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I think we're leaving money on the table
Send
here.
Send merch.
Yeah.
He'll wear it. A onesie for like Smartless.
God. Oh, those boys on Smart. Did you see they interviewed all the presidents the other day?
Oh.
They interviewed Bill Clinton, Barack Obama, and Joe Biden. They all did a show together. The six of them.
Oh, that was that event.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Lizzo opened, did some music.
Oh, God. I did see that Lizzo did something recently.
She quit.
She quit.
She quit.
She's.
I quit.
That's it. That's all we get from Lizzo.
I'm trying to think about how much our listeners will care about Lizzo quitting a month from now when this comes out.
I've also heard that she has new music coming. So it's like, what exactly are you quitting?
Well, she clarified. She put out a video. She's quitting.
Social?
No.
Nothing.
No, it was
she's
more.
She's quitting nothing.
It was more circuitous than that. She's like, I'm quitting giving energy.
Oh, and awesome. Okay.
Yeah, it was that sort of thing.
Yeah.
Because the post was just, I quit. And I was like, well, it seems definitive. And then she was like, what I actually mean is like, spiritually speaking, I'm quitting XYZ and the haters and blah, 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 blah.
Crazy. Just apologize one time for your behavior, Lizzo. Just one time. Like, I don't.
She should do a Postmates SpawnCon, right? Because of the Postmates thing, we know about this, where she docks the person that gave her bad service Postmates.
She does?
Well, this was like years ago, and she like put out this woman.
Kevin is
like,
the only one that remembers name.
I just remember her
and
like
a new 6-part podcast about it.
Yeah, emotionally abusing her dancers and then being like, everyone is a hater. I just don't understand.
And I kind of carry that energy with me in 2024.
Do you?
About the haters. Yeah, really? Yeah.
Yeah.
Just I can be as abusive as I want.
Stop feeding.
Yeah, you're
that.
A hater.
I definitely don't collapse over the slightest criticism that I receive from any friend or loved one.
Or yourself.
Ruminate about
by
it.
Listening to an old podcast.
You're right.
I know.
Thanks,
wild.
Caroline. I'm not going to think about that now. You know, maybe the whispers of the enemy, the devil. Let's take a quick break and we'll be right back with more good Christian fun.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app today to get free delivery on your first three orders, while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
Welcome back to Good Christian Fun. It's time for the hunt for the worst Christian song of all time. Devil Edition. I don't know how he got in there, but there he is. Oh, it's the devil. Let's talk about the devil for a second. Oh, it's the devil.
Oh, it's the devil.
Oh, you devil.
There he is.
What's everyone's relationship to the devil in 2024?
Love him.
Pro, huge fan.
Pro.
Yeah.
Also, you being like, oh, it's the devil. Like, this is when he would stumble in. Like, we were supposed to be here tonight.
Do you guys start over without me?
Oh, sorry, dude.
You thought you could have a party without this guy?
By the way, all three of you are fat.
Damn.
He's so evil.
It still works?
Yeah.
Get my ass, devil. Wow.
Immediately.
You know, Caroline, you grew up with a little fear and maybe some traumatic memories about the ideas of demons and things of the other world. But as far as the main guy, as far as like the manager, their boss, not as much with
him. Not as much at all. Mm-hmm. No, I was way more, I think as you should be more concerned with the lower level than upper management.
Yes.
When it came to hell. And I guess, like, and I still have problems with this. I never could quite wrap my head around, like, what was the devil's responsibilities and how much was that coming into my life?
Right.
You know, it seemed all over the place.
Yes, because Christian theology is very confusing in this regard. Because evil exists, but only because God's like, I'll allow evil to exist.
Right.
And then when evil stuff happens, it's because of Satan, the devil.
But if you're faithful, you're like on guard. And so he can't even touch you. And also, we've claimed victory over the devil. But also, if you couldn't get a parking spot,
that's the devil.
He's fucking with you.
Yeah.
Damn.
But it's weird to think about like good and evil that way, where it's like, it's not God's fault if something bad happens to you, or if good people die or get cancer or evil people reign, whatever. But he did allow it to happen, which is kind of the... It's the opposite of the civil rights quote about like evil happens when good men do nothing. It's like evil happens and there's some good men or a God doing nothing.
Yeah.
But it's what you have to understand is that technically he needs
it's
that to
your
exist
fault.
For more or less.
Yeah.
Were you ever scared of evil forces, of the unseen world, of anything in the spirit world growing up or even now?
No, I think I remember watching The Little Mermaid and being like, Ursula, why isn't this only about her? Mm-hmm. Like, I think from a pretty... I'm with Ursula. And I think from a very early age was like, I'm much more interested in the villains and they're having so much more fun.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. Like your demon, your ghoulie, I certainly don't want to interact with them. Like, I don't want to be eaten or murdered by a demon or dragged to hell. It doesn't seem super pleasant, but never the concern, never too worried about the devil.
Never a visceral
not top
fear
of mind.
Feeling.
Not top of mind. I thought he always seemed cooler and, very pro, I think, for the most part.
Yeah.
Just the not growing up particularly Christian, he seemed more fun.
He's interesting.
To me.
What about you, Kevin?
For me, I remember having very visceral, fearful memories of being a little kid, and they would depict Satan sometimes in either the skit at church or in some voiceover in a cartoon. And it would be legitimately fear-inducing in me.
Yeah.
And then that pretty much went away. Like going into college. I still had a little bit of it in high school. Just a little bit of it that I held on to.
What made you confident in college? The devil can't mess with me.
I had a roommate that slept next to me every night in my dorm room.
Certainly helps, doesn't it? Just one other
not
body
sleeping
at night.
Alone.
Yeah.
And that's why every night for the rest of my life, I've needed one other body in the room.
So is that a fear that the devil's going to like truly come and get you?
I remember having these like feelings similar to that of, oh, the lights are off and I got this weird feeling and maybe there's something in the closet. And it always felt very illogical that could be stabby, stabby guy or serial killer or a criminal. It felt way more logical. It made sense. It's like, it'll be Satan or like someone from another realm.
Interesting.
They'll come out and come get me.
Well, I guess, I mean, that all falls under the umbrella of the devil, right? If he comes as a serial killer or.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Oh, good point.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
I guess so.
Oh,
yeah, that would be demonic.
Handiwork of the devil. Well, I feel like
you're really expanding my worldview.
You know what? The only thing I really remember being scared of in the dark was in elementary school, the book fair. There were these scary books that I bought, and I'm still, I think, kind of scared of this. And there was a short story about a guy who's called the Flat Man, and he could slide.
He so can't scary. Sing for shit.
He was like this thin as paper, so he could get in through your window, and then he'd float away with you.
Horrible.
With like the wind, and that to this day I'm still scared of. But
I
guess
the
that's
Flat Man.
The Flat Man's very scary. God. And the illustration was so scary, but I guess that Flat still Man. Technically falls under like a devil ghoulie.
Sure. Yeah, but
it could still be in vague, like Christian.
We're expanding the jurisdiction.
Yeah, where it's anything bad.
Of Satan's little responsibilities.
A good Christian does think like the devil is obsessed with me.
Yeah.
Like it's not just like, a random capture, whatever. It's like, no, he is obsessed with me because I'm so powerful for the force of good.
Yeah.
That like he is now concerned about me.
Which, hot. Hot.
But super also hot red to have flag, a guy also, obsessed over you.
Yeah.
A little bit egotistical, you know?
Yes.
To be like, I am so freaking good at marching in the Lord's army.
Yeah.
That Satan's like, I've got Kevin's number now, and I got to make sure he's not.
What am I going to do about
confident.
This Kevin guy? That's going to be a real problem.
That's the attitude a lot of people have about the devil, too.
He's just
it's
chasing.
Like, if you are being messed with or your relationships aren't functioning the way they should or whatever, it's because like Satan is concerned with you because you're so good at preaching the gospel every day.
Wow. Well,
and the way we heard it probably in our adult life until we tapped out was because people wouldn't say that's the devil or something, or say it wouldn't be that explicit. It would be, well, yeah, it just felt like a real attack of the enemy, or I feel like the
attack
enemy.
Wow.
Yeah.
That would be the parlance in your window.
Yeah.
It is great marketing, you know, because it's like anything bad that happens to you, you feel good about that because it's happening to you because you are so good.
Exactly.
Wow.
Yeah.
Christianity, you guys.
There's a reason it's been number one for so long.
Number one.
Yeah.
It's airtight.
Yeah.
You think this just happened?
It's interesting too, like the devil chases you, but I feel like you have to chase the Lord. So it's like, what's your relationship type, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Exactly.
Oh, anxious attachment to Satan. Yeah.
Oh, God. Yeah.
Yeah. Certainly we could.
God
we could
being
all...
unavailable.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's very avoidant.
Let's say it. He's avoided.
He's
classic avoidant.
Yeah. Classic avoidant behavior.
Yeah.
Enneagram. What Enneagram would he be? 4, probably.
Yeah.
Because that's what you are.
Yeah. Hey. No, God's like all 9 or whatever.
Oh, the peacemaker?
No, all of all 9.
Oh, he's
type.
All 9.
Oh,
yeah. Whatever.
Yes. You're in, you know, Enneagram
no.
a little bit.
I haven't gotten into that. I know the attachment styles.
You're blessed.
I remember telling a friend of mine about Enneagram many, many years ago. And I sent them their first test. And, you know, they sent me the results back. And then I was listening to a podcast they were doing many years later. And they were talking about it like, and I'm an Enneagram this. And their guest that they had on was like very conversant in it. I was like, and I didn't
feel
want
like you
credit.
Should have gotten credit.
I didn't
it
want
sounds
credit.
Like you want
it
credit.
Sounds like you.
Why'd you bring it up?
But,
it.
But there was something deep down that I don't want credit.
You
but
do.
I want acknowledgement.
And
I
that's want, different.
It is. I didn't want acknowledgement
credit.
On air. Like, and obviously,
you did.
Shout out
you
to Kevin.
Every time we talk about the Enneagram. Hey, just thinking of you. Thanks again for the link.
Yeah.
Which you don't believe in Enneagram, by the way, too. So it's like, why do you
I medium believe this? In it. I'm not a skeptic. I like am in the middle of it. I
what think is it's, it?
Enneagram,
it's like a personality type, you know, thing.
Nine different personalities with different wings, which is like organized in a way like houses and rising and moons and
astrology. It's not like astrology really, but it is kind of like, oh, you know, how you interact with people or how you like you react to the world or whatever.
Okay.
How you relate. Okay.
Yeah. But it's based on tests rather than like you were born this day.
Yeah.
So this is what you are.
Yeah.
It's got it. It's based on you actually answering a bunch of questions.
But it's still like a pseudoscientific.
Yeah.
In sure.
Any way. Like there isn't like a way to really objectively research any of this. But people really connect to it, you know?
So yeah.
Yeah.
Who's to say?
And some people have really connected to it in
and
a
then
way.
Never would and say without you Kevin. Credit.
So,
and
never
you don't,
ever.
You don't want credit.
I don't want credit. I want acknowledgement. And it's so different. It's so different. Just a little like tilt of the head, a head nod
tilt of the head.
Or something.
Where it was on a podcast. What
right.
What did you want?
I wanted him to text
he
me.
He might have tilted the head, you know?
You know, you're right.
Just
you're
imagine right he did.
Off mic.
Mm-hmm.
He did with this.
Like, by the way, the guy who turned me on to this is just a huge part of my life.
Yeah.
I gotta share.
The devil is a huge character in popular music in a way that's on par with God. In a lot of, you know, there's God Only Knows by Beach Boys. Many, many non-Christian songs about the Lord or faith.
Yes.
What do you think?
God Only Knows was your example.
Yeah.
I don't think that song's about God.
No.
To me, I hear that song, it's about God. You're so right.
God Only Knows.
Yeah. Or just like as a turn of phrase, or just like as a specter, almost like a symbol.
Okay.
In pop songwriting. The devil is more of a character where it's like sympathy for the devil, or the devil went down to Georgia. Like he's in the mix in the secular world.
Whole genres of music have been classified as the devil by
satanic. Yeah, Metallica and whatnot.
Yeah.
And then in Christian music itself, he's less prominent. He's less featured, but when he is in a big way.
Punches through.
I think of the entire discography of Carmen in a way.
Carmen.
An Italian singer-songwriter from the state of New Jersey, a sort of lounge lizard, Vegas showman, the greatest
prince.
Showman in town, where Satan would legitimately, literally be a character in most of his songs. Satan bite the dust, or to have a boxing match with Satan.
Yeah.
There'd be so many of those.
Well, he's really fun, so I get why you want him in your song.
Yeah, and there's tension, you can tell. There's always,
it creates narrative tension.
Yes.
It's loaded.
Yeah.
But for today, we're talking about two songs.
Two great songs.
Two,
can I just say?
Great songs from very different artists.
I was
equally great for different reasons.
I was kind of dreading listening to these and then just had the best time.
Yes.
Well, Allison, because you had such a great time, what would you like to listen to first? My Girlfriend or The Devil Is on the Run?
My Girlfriend, obviously.
Okay. So this is from our favorite pop punk boys of the 2000s, of the odds.
Of the odds.
Poops, Teason, back at it again from their self-titled album, Reliant K, My Girlfriend. Go up to her and say you're a believer. Caroline, what was your first reaction to this song, listening to it? Had you heard it before?
I think we've talked about it here and there.
I think we referenced it obliquely without spending too much time on it.
I mean, I'm upset. It makes me think, makes me have to like think about Marilyn Manson as a person at all, because he's a terrible person.
Right. There's a sort of handshake, Venn diagram overlap we can all do. Like, you know, Marilyn Manson kind of sucks, right?
He's a horrible
person. For very different reasons.
But I will say, like, he had this, we've seen the full loop of this era. The early aughts were terrified of him, and like Carson Daly interviewed him, and I raced home from school to watch him interview basically the devil. And then we came around to like, oh, he's just this confused artist, and like,
who used to be smart. On the Wonder Years.
Yeah, he's like smart and interesting and doing weird stuff. And then finding out he's extremely abusive and terrible. Yeah. Where it's like to get back to, oh, he's the devil.
Yeah, could you maybe explain a little bit like that era of thinking Marilyn Manson is the devil? Like what was going on? Because I missed this culture.
Yeah, I think it was really tied to like Tipper Gore, and
as most things are,
as most things
follow the tipper. Well, the explicit label, you know, where it says parental advisory, explicit content on albums. She kind of spearheaded that,
And he's very scary looking. And his music, I mean, he's kind of doing like a devil voice, and I think that was all just tied into, and I don't think he really shied away from being scary.
Yeah.
But really, it's like, take out the parts, the obviously glaring flaws in him as a person, and nothing he was doing warranted the reaction at that time.
You're saying the actual content of the music and the provocation, because it seemed like all sort of edgelordy, empty provocation.
Yes.
Like, isn't it fucked up?
Which
that
is like
I'm
a common thing people do now. Yes. And people still fall for it. Like, oh my God, like Lil Nas grinded on the devil.
I know.
Like,
yeah,
he's
literally
a Satanist.
I know.
It's like, it's the lowest hanging fruit for an artist to be like, I love the devil.
Yeah.
You know,
it's really
like,
that.
It's like embarrassing. But for he was like kind of the first time maybe that he like really embraced it and people really believed him.
Yeah.
Like, oh my God.
Well,
like,
I feel like a lot of this was post Columbine stuff too.
Yes.
Everyone
he was very
was looking
tied to
for
Columbine.
Something.
And, like,
and he was
satanic panic kind of moment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The trench coat mafia was part of the Columbine thing, which even that, they weren't really a part of that, but that was somehow tied to Marilyn Manson music.
Okay.
Yes. But that was definitely the era of blaming musicians for teen behavior.
Yeah,
not the Columbine is classic teen behavior, but you know, like
teen behavior is so funny.
Teen behavior, right. And then we have Call of Duty after that.
Boys.
And then whatever. Okay, so he was like representative of like people openly embracing like evil, quote unquote, and like Satanism or the idea of it, or just being like so counterculture and in your face and like fuck you about it.
Yes, and things that you would not blink at now.
Yeah,
it's
that
like
now
he's
like
wearing
adorable
makeup and he was like androgynous and now you know, like that's kind of it. I think honestly I think about this a lot with sports, as far as like players who get categorized as like villains and across the board they're ugly, and I do also think that's part of it. Like Marilyn Manson is just objectively an unattractive person, and I do think that also ties into why we were like, he's bad.
Like had he been wearing makeup and cute
at
the same
then
time,
he'd be Harry Styles.
Yeah, everyone would have been like,
yeah,
like David
Harry
Bowie
Styles is
or like
Marilyn Manson of the 2020s. Oh,
it's just like the soft boy version.
Yeah.
I
think you're totally right.
Yeah.
But it does feel like falling for bait.
Absolutely.
The culture war that, because
that was just the
inevitable conclusion of a provocation like
that. Where it's like, we have to blame someone for school shootings, and it's certainly not guns. It is Marilyn Manson.
Yes.
And video games.
And video games. Yes.
Video games.
First person shooters.
Working
the
overtime.
Matrix. Yeah.
Yes. Yes. I think that's so funny. I do feel like Marilyn Manson and the Matrix are so tied together.
Weirdly. Yeah. Like isn't that funny?
Yeah.
This is a song written by a 15-year-old boy. He was 15 years old.
Yeah.
When he was
15?
Of course.
Like, is that even your girlfriend, technically? It's like a girl you see at school a lot.
That could still be a girlfriend. Sorry. I didn't mean to snap. That's my bad.
That's so funny.
Deason said he wrote it because of a female friend. This is such funny background. Who lived 8 hours away, who he would talk to about many things, including spiritual matters, such as where God was taking them in the future. And then she later turned to, you know, away from CCM and into Nine Inch Nails.
Yep.
Very similar. And,
oh my God.
Marilyn Manson.
She wasn't even his girlfriend.
Stuff. Thiessen said in an interview, through this, she changed her lifestyle and what she believed in. His friend would later be expelled from school, kicked out of her house, sent to youth detention center. Thiessen would state later, she felt that Christianity was stupid and just this big hypocrisy. Being young and impressionable, I just wrote this stupid little song, but that was the way I dealt with it, writing this song about how she was so consumed by Marilyn Manson.
And
the song itself courted controversy because moms didn't want kids to listen to... Well, yeah, because of cannibalism, the proto-Armie Hammer stuff. But even with the words Marilyn Manson is in the song, they're like... You can't listen to it if the words Marilyn Manson are into it. But part of the Matt Thiessen thing of like, yeah, we wrote this song and I don't agree with it now, but we did it. I mean, they've done this for many, many songs from Reliant K at this point. But definitely coming from a wounded boy's state of mind and heart of like, Marilyn Mansonator. And a sort of scapegoat for that.
Yeah.
Also, the first time I listened to this, I almost said read this. I thought he said, ain't my girlfriend. Like, I wouldn't, like, what? I wouldn't date a Marilyn Manson type.
Ain't my girlfriend? I love that.
Ain't my girlfriend.
But it seems crazier than, I don't know. Somehow that's weirder than saying he ate her.
That's my analysis. Just like a girl he was like pen pals with, basically. And he's like, that was my girlfriend and I lost her, you know, 15. Yeah, it's like, you know that song, Hey There, Delilah?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Did you hear the backstory of that?
No, it was like, it similar?
This is a huge song, right? This blew up. It comes out later that like the lead guy who wrote it never dated. Delilah was a real person. Mm-hmm. And she was like, yeah, I didn't like know him very well. And he was just like obsessed with me, I guess. And I don't like the song and it kind of freaks me out. And like, we were never close.
Can you imagine? Yeah. Like, I kind of know that guy. And he wrote this love song to me.
It sounds
very
like it's
popular.
About a girl he saw one time is reading.
Weird.
Yeah.
And he said, I already wrote a song about you. And she was like, okay.
Yeah. And she's like, get away from me.
I'm glad it didn't work though.
Yeah, no, I'm glad too. But it's like, oh yeah. Anyway. So that's kind of what's going on here.
Not on that level. Yeah.
It's
yeah.
like, it. Not only is she not really, you know, someone he, I don't know, had any sort of like claim to, I guess.
Right.
And again, this is a 15-year-old boy. So I'm assuming there's a lot more maturity here than there obviously would have ever been. But then also like, it's kind of cruel. Like if she did go through all of that and like was kicked out of her house and went to juvenile hall and like whatever to just be like make this jokey song about it, about like, oh well, she listened to bad music, it's kind of on her,
as though that was what caused it instead of like she found music to express what she was going through. Like
it sounds like maybe you don't actually know what was going on. It might have been other stuff or stuff, you know, whatever.
Maybe it's bigger than loving the Lord.
Yeah, and she embraced sin or whatever. It's like, such a moron.
Have you seen the music video for this?
God.
This was every music video of the time.
Oh, sure. Yeah, in 2000.
I hate this guy.
Wow.
Wait, are you talking about the guitarist
so
that's wearing a George Bush t-shirt in the music video?
No.
Yeah, one of them is.
Oh, my God.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, he's my like God, he is wearing a George Bush shirt.
Wild.
But not W. The original Bush. Huh. It says like George Bush 88.
Very cool.
This is wild. Yeah. Very Bush fan. Also, just the music video adds a layer of just misogyny. Misogyny.
Oh, how do you mean?
Them shooting lasers at a giant woman.
Oh, you think that shows a sort of like male fear of
powerful women.
Betrayed. Yes, I don't know what's going on.
Yeah. It's, so how old are they now in this music video? Well, he wrote it when he was 15.
I'm guessing they're mid-40s.
Like standing by.
No,
mid-40s now.
Mid-40s now.
When the music video comes out.
It does feel like
what were we like when we were 20? What if we recorded those conversations?
It does feel like it feels like it's written by AI, where you're like, what's a Christian Blink-182 song?
Oh, yeah. And quite catchy at that.
Yeah.
I remember this for Fred, and I remembered seeing this music video when I was a little kid, when it was playing not on MTV.
No.
Like regular
Absolutely
people.
Absolutely not.
But when it was playing on the Christian MTV, that would be for 2 hours.
That's so funny.
Every Saturday night on our Houston local affiliate. And they would play music videos like this and similar alternative bands. But it stayed in my mind because it felt so edgy at the time.
Yeah.
Oh my God, Marilyn Manson.
Yes. And like almost like poking fun at like the devil's influence over people, right. Which is also kind of a no-no.
Sure.
In the church world, like we don't make fun of that. That's a very serious thing.
You could definitely, if they wanted to, you could definitely do the thing that a lot of people do when something isn't received exactly as sincerely intended. And you could say, well, yeah, we were making a satire about the way people boogeyman satanic forces as the explanation for personal fallings out and things like that. He did not do that.
That would be an incredible leap of IQ for Thiessen.
For a Rhodes Scholar, Matt Thiessen.
I need to stop speaking that joke. But I mean, this is also like what for the early 2000s, like this kind of misogyny was just like we were breathing it. You know, it was like nothing special. Like this is almost kind, you know, by the standards of the time.
He's kind of taking the blame off her and just Marilyn Manson ate her.
Yeah. And he's actually blaming a man. Which is a powerful show of allyship.
Yes.
And blaming Satan, another man. Right.
And
you know?
But in line with like all the other stuff Reliant K did, like they just have so many songs about like girls being idiots, you know, and like kind of hating them, but like because they stopped hanging out with them pretty much. That is just like, oh, these guys.
Well, they got older, got married. Where are the songs? They haven't put out an album in like 10 years or something like that.
They need to regress.
They need to get divorced and have a few more songs.
Yeah, there you go.
I am curious how many of them are still like super Christian, because I did a Google and there's only two originals still left in the
standing.
Band. I'm like, some of those guys left for the devil.
I am reading now. Matt Thiessen did get divorced in 2018.
Is he the one that he dated Katy Perry?
He sure did.
Yeah.
Well, the rumor, the sort of apocrypha at the time is my girlfriend, that's a song about Katy Perry and about how she pivoted to secular music. Right. Not true.
Yeah.
That was the case, but still fun to think about.
Still fun.
Yeah. Everyone loves the apocrypha of, did you know that this song is actually about this famous person? Everyone
it's
loves
always not
Dave
true.
Coulier for the Alanis Morissette stuff, or the Carly Simon thing about Warren Beatty.
Uh-huh. What, is the Alanis Morissette thing true? Is that?
All but confirmed.
Okay.
I think she's never officially confirmed it. But
I need that one to be real.
Yeah, and this is half of what animates everyone's interest in Taylor stuff, is connecting the famo dots of who's this about and why.
Yeah.
It's a game.
It is.
It's a big game to them.
Well, she'll give so many like timestamps. I'm like, I wrote this in September 2013, and like that was the time she was paparazzied with whoever, you know?
Yes, I think she's kind of stoking those flames when it's like, I wrote this song about falling in love with my boyfriend in this exact
moment. Yeah.
The second song is slightly different in flavor.
Yes.
More what I was expecting.
This is a song called The Devil Is on the Run.
The king is on the move and the devil is on the run.
Good morning, everybody. Let's stand.
Clap your hands.
Does this hype you guys up still? Or are you a little like,
No. You see me like, this happens. No, I'm not feeling everything right now.
No, I don't
love tapping.
In the morning. Lies may seem louder than ever before.
But child, don't mistake a win. Caroline's going through it.
Yeah.
The devil is on the run.
This is a bop to me.
Oh my God.
I think this is a bop.
You're feeling it?
Yeah. This is very, I mean, both of these feel like the eras that music was really sinking into me. It just feels very.
Wait, when do you think this song came out?
This, I looked it up, so okay. I know. But otherwise, I would have said 2010.
Yeah. Very 2010.
Hey,
very
like.
It also sounds
this
like.
This could be like an upbeat Iron and Wine song.
It also just sounds like. Ask your doctor.
Yes,
about.
This could be a commercial for any medication.
The devil is on the run. So casting Crowns, unlike Reliant K, who are at least somewhat liberal in nature, especially now, and not that
yeah.
tied to Christian, not as tied to Christian culture.
Yeah.
And they never were as much as casting Crowns. Casting Crowns is very far right. Like, we love Mike Pence. We're praying for President Trump in the Oval Office. You know.
Yeah.
Writing songs about anti-abortion stuff and about Oprah telling people to do stuff too much.
The band is massive too. There's like 7 people on this album photo.
Legally, they have to add 2 members to the band each year.
Yeah.
As it goes on.
Yeah.
They're just snowballing with more hat-wearing Christian artists every year.
So the devil is on the run. Kind of what you were talking about, Caroline, too, about what it means when you're doing your own thing or doing whatever in Christianity, you're living your life, you're spreading the whatever. And if you encounter resistance, what that means in the narrative of like the devil's coming to get you and you have to run towards God, or who cares about you? Whose shit list are you on? In this case, it is the devil.
See, this to me, I heard this as like, we're going after him.
We're going to kill Satan.
We're going to kill Satan, which to me, I'm like, you're talking about gay people.
It's a little bit of a Sundown Town vibe to it.
Yeah, it's a little chasing him out. Yeah, it's a little like, he's hiding.
Yeah.
We need to get him.
Yeah.
Which to me, I'm like, minorities, gay people, what are you talking about?
And given the nature of the band.
Yeah.
Yes, why are they claiming victory right now? Like, what culturally is going on that you guys understand as like a win against the devil? I'm thinking of some things.
Oh yeah, because what's one of the lines is like, now the enemy's lies may seem louder than ever before. And of course they're talking about when people put pronouns in their bio.
I thought, because is this 2022? I thought it was just Roe v. Wade.
Oh,
that
you
was
know
my
what?
Take.
This came out in 2022.
That's interesting.
Where it was like, yes, you have that baby.
100%.
That was my takeaway.
I hope you die in
which
birth.
Which made me feel even worse that I was absolutely loving it.
You were just like,
I was rocking
put this
out.
On my summertime playlist.
Listen, trust the art, not the artist. Summertime playlist. And we all remember where we were.
On the run. Yeah, this like, they're talking about like, oh, we know you're still thinking like we've got work to do, but actually this is like the death rattle of the devil. Yeah. Like, we are so close.
We're so close.
Which might be politically and ideologically motivated as much as it is a pretty common form of worship songwriting, which is there's so much in praise and worship that's not reflective of the truth. It's reflective of an ideal reality that you want to be true. But you sing it in present tense as almost like spiritual manifestation.
Yeah,
so it's like,
you're right.
God, we love you so much and we're on fire for you. And
yeah,
never
like your
before.
Kingdom is coming. Mm-hmm. And yeah, because I was going to say, like, this is interesting because it's like, okay, then how powerful is the devil then? If we've already like beat him,
right?
Then he's not a concern, is he? But it's like, oh, that's the catch. As soon as you decide he's not a concern,
he will come roaring back.
Yeah. So like you need to stay obsessed.
Yes.
Literally obsessed.
Yeah.
No. Like Carmen.
Yeah.
Eternally, no. But
yeah, I think you're right too. It's kind of also like, yeah, let's claim this as the truth because this is like the world we want to live in as well.
It's just such a funny, powerful image too of like, okay, I gotta go. Sorry. I'm not wanted. I knew when I'm not wanted.
I'm leaving. My Uber's almost here.
I see him like,
I get it.
It's raining and he's under an awning trying to smoke a cigarette. He's like, I'm going.
Leave me alone.
I'm outside.
Yeah, second.
But yeah, I love that you responded to this musically.
I loved it. Because it's I am a child of Creed. Like,
sure.
Either, Creed. Like, that I was forced to listen to Creed.
Mm-hmm.
Not for, but
by
it was,
who?
By just it being everywhere. Sure. Like, him him being everywhere. Like, that was just the years when music was being pumped in. It was like this, like, vaguely sneaky Christian rock.
Yeah.
Where it's like, are you guys talking about God? Hang on a second. I didn't sign up for this. Yeah.
Nothing sneaky about this, but yes.
No, yeah.
For the Creed stuff.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
But I feel like there are plenty of non-secular songs where they talk about the devil. Maybe I guess they're not, and I just assume they weren't. I don't know.
Yeah.
You're talking about secular songs where they talk about the devil?
Yeah. Well, I just feel like, again, older.
We're the same generation.
But like, I also, my parents got divorced when I was 11. So I feel like I was forced to listen to my dad's like divorce music, and he loved Blues Traveler. And I feel like all of those songs, he talks about the devil.
That's a divorced dad album.
And that doesn't feel Christian. That just feels like devil.
Yeah. That's one thing about you the devil. It's like, you don't have to be a spiritual person to still want to like tussle with the idea
of devils.
Like, what is this?
Yeah.
You know, what does this mean?
Almost as though the devil's more inclusive.
Relatable.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The devil puts pronouns in his bio.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, these two songs.
All right.
Yes.
Which do we think is the worst between the two? Caroline, we start with you.
Oh, God. Can we go to someone else? I need to think about it.
Okay. Yeah. Well, I'll just volunteer my own feelings and say, I think My Girlfriend by Reliant K accurately reflects a young man's angst and perhaps misplaced or inappropriate emotions in a way that doesn't feel dishonest. It feels too honest in some ways, even if it's not a good look. Even
yeah.
if optically it's bad, even if it is laced with a misogyny.
Yeah.
At least he's being real about it.
I don't care if people hate women with authenticity.
Yeah. And I do think, like, the caveat that he was 15, I'm like, that's fine. I mean,
but sang it when he was 20.
I know.
That's also,
you're right. That's bad. That's bad. That's
like,
bad. Yeah.
There's some poems I wrote, you know, in
eighth
grade. Yeah,
and I'm not going back to them.
Wait, did you really write poems?
Is there an open mic night we can go to?
Yeah. And like, people need to hear this 5 years later.
Like, he thought it was good.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, and maybe we could look up, like, when's the last time he played My Girlfriend in concert? But, you know, if he plays it to this day, that would be
pretty bleak.
That would be interesting.
Their band Turnover and the era kind of reminded me of Real Big Fish, even though they're ska. But it's the same thing of like,
were you a ska girl?
I grew up in Southern California. Again, had no say. It was like ska and Creed. It was a dark time. Limp Bizkit, like you had to like Limp Bizkit.
Yeah.
And
sorry.
I know. And I wasn't strong. I honestly thought
you're saying I'm sorry like a family member just passed.
I know. Yeah. Well, I mean, it was not a good time for music.
Uh-huh. No, it sure wasn't.
When you're a teen. What was my point? Oh, but Scott, the lead singer of Real Big Fish is like the only mainstay. And it's just him playing those same songs still, like at state fairs or whatever. Maybe they finally stopped.
Off the state
but
fair
just
of it
like,
all.
Dude.
Yeah.
Let it go.
So conversely, with Run You Little Devil or whatever it's called.
Yes.
there's a Jenny Lewis song I love called Run Devil Run.
Run.
Yeah. From Rabbit Fur Coat. But The Devil is on the Run by Casting Crowns. This feels like a dishonest artistic statement. It feels created and manufactured, almost like built backwards. They backed into like, okay, what's something that could be, you know, the opener Sunday morning, but also perhaps the RNC, you know, pre-music.
Yeah.
As Mike Pence takes the stage and does a little speech or something. It doesn't feel like it's coming from their heart. And as misshapen as it is, My Girlfriend feels like it's coming from the heart in a way that's almost too real. So I think The Devil's on the Run is the worst song.
Wow.
Between the two. That's my argument.
What did you say was the worst one?
Oh, I didn't. I feel like they are pure equals because I think they're both in different ways doing the same thing, because I feel like Reliant K is made in a simulation for teens of the aughts, and trying to get in that younger crowd versus Casting Crowns, LOL that name, is it's just like, has its solidified fan base. And I agree, like, there's no art to it. This is the song that they make. I'm sure they're, mm-hmm. they have 20 versions of this song.
Sure. Yeah.
It is also interesting with Christian music, how they kind of hide it, where it's, I think Casting Crowns is very clearly a Christian song, but like Reliant K is kind of sneaky. So I don't like that element of, it's not.
You don't like being tricked. You don't want to be made a fool of.
That feels like devil behavior to me personally.
Oh, wow. True.
I don't like a sneaky Christian song. I want you to say this is for Jesus right up top, like a DJ Khaled.
It's a bait and switch foot like when you think about it.
Yeah, I want like for Jesus, like right up top.
In Jesus' name.
But I did, I enjoyed both of them. I think I also come in with a bias of anything, any Christian media is going to be actively terrible, and that's not fair. So it gets like a grade bump for me. Like when you watch a movie on an airplane,
oh,
you're
yeah.
like, it's great.
Oh, yeah, you grade on a curve for Christian media. Like,
when you, you have zone of interest on your flight,
yeah.
and you're just like, yeah, this is awesome.
Yes. And it's just like, yeah, these are songs, and they did it.
They did better than I thought.
They did better than I thought. Mm-hmm. And they're not, you know, saying, I don't know.
Which lives matter?
Yes. There wasn't anything that I was instantly like, oh, sure. my God, this is so horrible.
Mm-hmm.
And I genuinely enjoyed both and listened to both multiple times.
Yeah.
Hundreds of times.
You know, they both inspire disgust for me in their own
yeah,
ways.
Yes.
But I think that if I'm gonna think about like, you know, damage control here, or which caused damage, I think that the Casting Crowns is more responsible for that because of, you know, sort of the MAGA feel of it. And maybe that's unfair. Maybe I should separate that from the
art. I like that you pronounce it as MAGA.
Yes, very, MAGA. Very European.
What did I say? MAGA. Like a manga. Anyway.
Okay.
But there's that. And as I was sitting here thinking about, you know, Matt Thiessen once again talking shit about a girl he doesn't know, you know,
yeah.
who didn't like him back or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
But here's the thing is he was dead on about Marilyn Manson.
He was actually right.
That's the thing.
It's like that's like, unfortunately, you know, maybe he is a little bit more prescient than we give him credit for. So, yes, he was attacking Marilyn Manson for silly reasons.
Yes, but he was.
Ultimately, it was a net positive.
Yeah.
Because we should be wary of Marilyn Manson, and any girls in his vicinity
Truly.
Should not be around. They should be wow. removed from
this area. Powerful. This argument you're making is
yeah.
is galaxy brain.
So now I'm kind of like, I think that's a good song.
Holy shit.
Right.
I think mm-hmm. I've been turned too from that argument.
Wow.
I mean, I don't want to bum everybody out, but you know.
But I would like to argue that Casting Crowns is, I'm bummed if that is, if that has become the official sound of MAGA, because
you step foot that this in a certain is parts of Florida.
Welcome to MAGA.
Because this feels like,
I mean,
folk rock from like the aughts. Like that was
hey ho culture.
Yes.
Yeah.
Very much that, where I was like, this, I saw them kind of recently since he's broken up with the girl. Why can't I think of the name of that? No. Ooh. Who am I thinking? I'm thinking of Edward Sharpe.
And the Magnetic Zero. Because
that song, like those songs about their love affair. And
huge
he still
hey-ho
plays
culture,
them.
Yeah.
But yeah, the like Lumineers-y air, like,
yeah.
I hope that can, because it's
good.
I can't like.
They didn't do anything wrong.
They didn't do anything wrong.
They people did nothing
just,
wrong.
People just turned on them.
Yeah.
They had enough. And then guess what? Probably like 15 years, they're going to be like, we
like
love
that Hey-O song. But just
yeah, the renaissance of the stomp clap. Yeah.
Come back.
Yeah.
But I do hope that sound isn't inherently white supremacist. I don't know.
No.
I don't think. Yeah.
We can't let them have it.
We can't.
Yeah. They can't.
So
they have enough
late to it. It's
yeah.
like, you guys don't even get it anymore.
No.
You know?
No.
Like, you're just doing an impression of Stomp Clap. Right.
Oh, yeah.
Stomp Clap is inherently a revolution.
I know.
I mean, there was that banjo player that left Mumford & Sons because he was so conservative.
Oh, right. God. Maybe that is. Maybe
they ride, just, you know, close to that zone. But
yeah, they're flirting with each other.
The problem is, in my bones, I have bad taste. And, and like, but I love that. Loving a Mumford & Sons song like that.
No, you're right. You're right for that. We all love them. It's just not cool anymore.
It's just not cool, and you can't say it.
Mm-hmm. But you're so right. It's going to be the way we talk about yacht rock now. Of actually,
exactly,
the best music on earth is whatever Steely Dan,
considered corny, right? It's like, mm-hmm. No, but like Margaritaville's a good song.
Yeah,
it's fun.
Yeah,
like just embrace it.
Yes,
we all need to get over it and stop being snobs. I'm famously never a snob about anything.
Right? Nothing.
Yeah. You've never turned coat.
Yeah.
On a single piece of pop culture.
What do you call
life.
Your DVDs?
They're not DVDs. They're Blu-ray.
They're not DVDs. Yeah. They're just not.
I would call
it's
it
like,
a DVD.
What do you call your cat?
One.
It's a dog.
It's
so
a dog.
No.
Right.
I don't know what you're talking about.
No, totally.
If you say discs, then I guess we can have a
discs
conversation.
Is the same thing.
Yeah.
They're different.
No, yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Cut to Caroline almost doing a spit take last night when I said, I like Lena Dunham.
I like Lena Dunham.
Yeah. And then you were like, what?
You'll never, yeah. Again, as I've said, I have terrible taste. You're never going to turn me off of Girls. It's one of the greatest shows of all time.
Yeah. No, you're in good company with that.
Okay.
Yeah. No, you're good.
Well, Girls is a period piece now.
You can't get
Now it's like a mid odds period piece.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
I think the revival is upon us.
Yeah.
All right. The devil is on the run. You've run all the way to the championship. So.
No, wait. Didn't we say Reliant K?
Well, but we're deciding which is the worst.
Oh, I see.
So
that is
the worst.
Okay. Yeah.
So the devil's on the run. The devil wins once again.
I made you a champion.
Is that familiar to you?
No.
Could you place what that is or who that is?
No. Can I also ask why Austin Powers is in your opener?
No, you may not.
Not up for question.
Yeah. And we won't be taking any questions about this. I just realized in a little while, Caroline's going to once, for the first time in her life, be able to authentically say, yeah, baby.
Yeah, baby. Oh my God.
Isn't it sweet?
It's sweet. It's the first thing I say.
That should be the announcement.
Yeah.
Yeah, baby.
Bazinga.
Yeah. Oh, that'd be cute.
It's just not a Christian movie. I just don't.
Well, others might disagree with you. And let's not gatekeep who gets to decide what's Christian or not. That's all I'm saying. On this show, Allison, we don't plug ourselves or our projects. We lift them up to the Lord. Mm-hmm. Where to follow us on social media.
Yeah.
Things you're enjoying in the secular culture, like the last great thing you watched, saw, read. Listen to.
Oh.
We start with Caroline, as per usual.
You can lift me up at Caroline's Farts. And I am going to lift up a song.
And Caroline's Farts MAGA and Truth Social.
Truth Social. While you still can. Sad. Okay.
So sad.
I'm going to lift up a song I heard in a hotel lobby.
Oh my gosh.
Really good.
Yeah. Can you tell we're banking these episodes and recording a lot at once?
I'm not getting a lot of new stuff, okay? But this was good.
Maybe. I will lift up a sign I saw on the way here. It was a really cool looking billboard.
Oh, I saw a movie poster.
But the movie looks great. I haven't seen it.
I think just guys, keep on the lookout. It's a good song. I'd say that because I don't know anything about this band, so I can't vouch beyond. But this song, wow, it hit me in that lobby, and I was like, I gotta Shazam it right away.
Holy shit.
It's called Crown Posada, P-O-S-A-D-A, by Smooth and Terrell. Great song. Give it a listen. All right. What do you guys have?
Yeah, we turn it to Allison.
No, let's see, Allison, you want to lift up Creed?
Be nice to our guests.
What if
Sorry,
I was like,
I
you know
defensive.
What? Yeah. No, I I forgot that this was part of it, and now I need to look up.
Scrambling.
I was scrambling.
Exactly.
You know, I'm gonna lift up "Rich Spirit" by Kendrick Lamar. Nice. I've been replaying that a lot.
"Rich Spirit."
You know, he's great.
Is that a new one? Is that when it hit?
That is no.
It
is
Kendrick LaHoo?
Yeah,
is that
what?
A new one?
And I don't want to plug my social media because I don't do it.
And I'm on your Instagram.
Okay. No one's gonna make you.
My Instagram's just my name. Allison,
you know what? We won't ask you to plug your social media. I'm just gonna ask if you remember having a AOL Instant Messenger screen name.
Yes.
And what it was.
Oh my God, so embarrassing. So I think as a child, at some point, I said I liked cows, and that became my entire personality with my family.
Cowgirl.
Yeah, where it was like I got cow gifts. I had so many like cow. Just no, yeah. I didn't. That was
your life was cows,
and I didn't care about them, but I also leaned into it. So I think my first Instant Messenger account I think was Moo Cow, like 719.
Moo Cow 719.
I believe.
What's the significance of 719?
How dare you? It's my birthday.
Your birthday? I was about to say it wasn't your birthday.
But yeah, it was something cow-based. And I don't know. I think it was high school that I was finally able to get away from cows. And I don't care about cows. I never did. I don't know how it happened. I have no memory of saying
you
that
left
I liked
that scene
them.
Behind.
I'm yeah. scared you're like bringing it back now.
I know. I honestly
people are going to start giving you cow shit
please,
again.
Please don't.
Literal cow shit.
Yeah.
Yeah, don't everyone go to her social media and bomb the comments with cow emojis. Don't do
that's
that.
Not nice.
Don't do it.
Don't do it.
Absolutely.
Don't do
not.
It. It's so weird.
Mine was wolves for a while.
Wolves is cool. Wolves
well.
Is cool. No.
Okay, then bring it back.
Well, okay. Let's have a revival.
Do it. Yeah.
And mine was the tagline for American Beauty. Look closer, 07. That was my first screen name.
Wow.
Yeah.
What are you lifting up this week?
I'm lifting up my socials at Kevin T. Porter and nice. Then a movie called Being There. Did you guys ever see Being There?
No. Are you saying Bean There? Like
not like Mr. Bean.
Mr. Bean.
Bean There. Bean Here. Bean There. Bean
he did that one artistic movie. No.
He did?
No, I'm Bean There.
I wish. That'd be awesome.
It was like, he did?
He did. The Mr. Bean movie is directed by Yorgos Lanthimos. And he's
it would
fucking
be
a lot
really
in it.
Cool.
He's like,
that'd be awesome.
That's a good Mr. Bean. Bean There's this Hal Ashby movie from.
I'm just thinking of Mr. Bean in
it. Mr. Bean.
That's all I'm thinking.
I just see black and white. Half of his face is obscured in the poster.
Yeah.
Bean There.
Oh, like the Priscilla font.
Yes.
And the, yeah. That's the style now.
A24 Mr. Bean yes. movie. Oh,
it's gosh. This Peter Sellers movie about what if a dumb guy just kind of failed upward in an intense way in the political system. Which just, sounds boring.
I'm very Bean-esque.
Yeah. Yeah, very Bean-esque.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, he literally doesn't know how to read or write, and he becomes very powerful.
Oh, my God. Okay.
And I freaking loved it, and I was lolling.
It's a comedy.
It's a comedy. It's one of Peter Sellers' last movies. Not his very last movie, where he played an Asian guy, but his second to last
yeah.
movie.
Wow.
So
going on so
if you
much?
Gotta choose one, I'm gonna say watch Being There.
Okay.
Being There.
Not Being There.
Not Being
There. Being in there.
But we should write a movie called
That's 20 fucks. He's being in there. You can lift us up at Christian Fun Pod everywhere. Patreon.com/goodchristianfun for more good Christian fun and leave us a review on Apple Podcasts. Allison, thanks so much for joining us on the show.
Thank you for having me.
You're not a little devil to us. You're a little angel.
Oh, little angel.
Appreciate you.
So lame. What you're saying is lame and not
yeah,
cool.
Personality-less.
What the fuck? Okay, fine. You're a little devil.
Thank you.
I think of Reese Witherspoon, Cruel Intentions, when she's being silly, and she's like,
yeah.
And Ryan Phillippe's like, stop it. You're going to make me crash the car. And he's like,
love.
And that should be our cover art from now on. Okay. And there's nothing left to say except for, okay,
I love you, Emma.
Emma.
Amen. Amen.
Now watch this drive.
Watch this drive. Almost forgot.
You know why you almost forgot?
Why?
An attack of the enemy. The battle may be
raging, but the war oh, true. Not this time.
Anytime an attack of the enemy happens, we should play this song on the show.
The battle may be raging.
All right. We'll see you next week. Goodbye.
Bye. Is on its heels.
found that sometimes how it is not how it feels. Now the enemy's lies may seem louder than ever before.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.